Everybody's waiting for that text, ain't they? Luke 15. Luke 15. Amen. He threw me a surprise birthday while I was there. After the services, I think it was the Sunday night services, they brought balloons forward. That just stuff gets under my skin. I don't mind it out there, just at church sometimes, but they brought the balloons and then they sang happy birthday and then they had cheesecake downstairs and ice milk and cupcakes. They had a baptismal service for the night service, 10, 11-year-old girl. And I don't know if she was born in the States or not, but most of her family was Guatemalan. And so there was just, man, it was a large service. And it's probably the most multicultural church I've ever been. Even in Africa, we had a multicultural church, but it is every place, France, and I mean everything there, France and South America, different countries, and the Philippines, and Polish, and Eastern Bloc, and South Carolina showed up. Amen. They didn't understand, one person didn't understand my sarcasm. I have the spiritual gift, Brother Mark, of sarcasm. And I was given an illustration about how wonderful it was that God allowed two rocks to clash together and we have all this. And there was a bunch of folks that said, amen. Oh, no. And after services, I was down the foyer. It's on a lower level and they're coming out and shaking hands. And this one guy, man, he was mean mugging me the whole service, man. And I hadn't met him before. He was new. He'd come there this year. And he, man, was mean mugging me the whole service. And I was trying to look over here and everywhere else. Every time I'd look up, he... And after service was over, people were coming out and shaking their hands and everything. And he was beelining it for the pastor. I said, man, what in the world? And then he stopped and he came back, switched hands, and he shook my hand. And then went out there, and then I was just talking to people. There's a family that does the bus route. They have a separate parking lot for people. They go get them and then transfer them back to the church. And so I was out talking to him. And the preacher said, I said, man, I don't know if I want to get in this thing. He just got a look on his face. And he tried to explain my sarcasm, that he was put off that these people said amen to that statement, which appeared to be evolution. And I came over and I said, man, I was genuinely, I'm so sorry, you know, everybody doesn't understand my humor. And he seemed to be okay with it. And afterwards, preacher just kept being sarcastic with me about thanks for tearing up my church and everything. But you got to watch what you say, Brother Baldwin, sometimes when you go places. And so, no, I had a good time while I was there, and I appreciate y'all letting us get away. Amen. And I can get away now, and I don't get any phone calls or any baggage when I get home. And I honestly, that is, it's so, I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. Amen. Luke chapter 15, you say, I thought we were in Colossians. No, I'm gonna pause that. My guest speaker tonight didn't want to, you know, fill in, so I wanted to go to a passage that I'm very familiar with. So Luke chapter 15, you're probably wondering where. Anybody want to take a guess? Verse what? Verse 11. Wow, I perceive that thou art a prophet. I was in John chapter 4 Sunday. That's why I said that. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Let's get going. And he said, a certain man had two sons. Now, obviously, Jesus is given various parables. He says in verse 11, and he said, Christ said, is, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me, just listen to the terminology here, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Ain't nothing, I've told all mine, ain't nothing falling to you, it's in its place. And nothing falling. If anything falls, it's going to fall to Caden. Let me just say this real loud. It's going to fall to Caden Wesley and Bubs. Skipping everybody. And then Jacob said, right. Skipping them all, Caden, Wesley, and Bubs. It's going to fall to y'all, all right? He says, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. Notice there was days in between. It always grabs me. As a family person. You ever been in a home where there was tension? Conversations going on. Bible says not to let the sun go down on your wrath. I know that wasn't a comfortable conversation. Dad wasn't just waiting to divide his living. And so we've got days. I don't know how many that would be. It had to be more than one, right? Two, I don't know how many days it was, but it says, and not many days after that, after the younger son gathered all together, and I've preached out of here before, I kind of chuckle sometimes, I picture him like putting it all in a pillowcase. You know what I'm saying? Getting it all together, because that's all he had really, wasn't it? I mean, he didn't have nothing. What he had was because of the Father. If he had something, he wouldn't have gathered it all together and asked for what his dad had. I just see him with his little pooch lip and he's putting it all in a pillowcase and I'm sick and tired of this place and I've already talked to everybody else and they agree with me and they see it the way I see it. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there... Boy, you look at how many things took place in just one verse. And there wasted his substance. Once he got it, I guess it was his to do something with it, huh? But he wasted it. When I hear that, I hear him just wasting somebody else's substance. Wasting the time that Dad invested in him. Wasting the time. I grew up for a piece of my life on a farm. Frank wasn't the only one that invested in my life. There was other people around that. On the farm, Dave, and I still, Jake got to meet Dave, and he invested in me, and there was other people that invested in me. But in that one passage of Scripture, look at how much time transpires. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And there was a lot of late night pillow talk, I guess you could say. Maybe not pillow talk, maybe hay mound talk. You know, maybe that little pillowcase that he pooched mouth packed before he left now became the vessel for all the straw to be put in it to lay his head on in the hog pen. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swines did eat, no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, and that's what it takes. You can't never get nobody there on your own. A person has to come to themselves. He said, now he's thinking, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Now, I would imagine in that culture, the servants weren't eating at the father's house. They had their own, what do they call that in the old Western movies? Bunkhouse? They had their own bunkhouse. They were probably feeding themselves out of the bunkhouse. But I'm going to tell you what, that boy was, now all of a sudden he's taking a tally. Now all of a sudden, instead of writing down the things that caught his attention from the world, now he begins by memory, starting to make a tally. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, And I like that part. I don't know if I've mentioned it here. I know I've mentioned it somewhere else when I preached out of this passage of Scripture. Every time I read that passage of Scripture, I hear the Little House on the Prairie tune. And you see that big giant tree on the hill, and all the little girls are come running over the hill and they're falling and everything. And I'm of the persuasion Dad sat on that porch many a night. And he looked at that ridge. And when, I don't know if it was, even in the daytime, if the sun's in the right place, you might not see who it is. But I guarantee you, Dad saw that silhouette. And before that boy could get to the father's house, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He didn't have Facebook. He didn't have Snapchat. He didn't have TikTok. He didn't have email. He didn't have all that. He didn't have Life 360. He didn't have iPhone Find Me. All he knew is when he left, and he hadn't heard from him again, as far as he knew, he was dead. I think there was enough in Dad that said, surely he'll come back sooner than this. There's many preachers that have said it, and I don't want to disagree with them, and I don't want to read into the text, but Mom's never mentioned. I wonder sometimes if she just passed with a broken heart, never able to see him come back. But nonetheless, he comes back. Dad, verse 23, says, bring hither the fatted calf, kill it, let us eat, and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. And you know the rest of the story. His elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother's come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. That's a bad place to be. I'm not going to talk about him tonight. I want to look at the other one. It's a bad place when you get to a place where you're angry when people come back. I don't know which one's worse, the one that leaves and gets all of his stuff within his little pillowcase, or the one that stays home and lavishes in something his dad created and still doesn't have the heart that the father had. He said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered, by the text I see that this guy was a good guy. The father, that is. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, he doesn't know that. It's an assumption. He wasn't there. He didn't have social media. He didn't get letters from his wayward brother. There's no inclination that he can say that. It's amazing sometimes when you get mad at somebody how many things can fill your mind. Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Father, we'd ask you to help us with the time that we have, with the thought that I have. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the hope that's in the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that prodigals can come to themselves. We'd ask you to show us something from this passage of Scripture tonight, I plead. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I say often about any specific text I'm in that it is my favorite. I preached three messages out of John chapter 4, the woman at the well, and he must needs go through Samaria. I haven't preached it here, but I preached it there. And it is one of my favorite passages. I love that story. I sit on rocks and hide behind tumbleweeds every time I read that passage of Scripture, just to see what it must have looked like. This is not my favorite passage, but it is a passage that I preach from many times, and I find myself in many times just looking around. As a father, myself raising children, as a pastor shepherding folks, and as a person having seen so many wander away from the Father's house through the years, it has not become my favorite passage, but it has become a very familiar passage. So as I was studying this week, and knowing the family conference is next week, I didn't want to start a new message series, but rather preach an isolated message. And what I mean by that is just a one and done, one single message that will stand by itself. I don't know how long it's been since I've done that on Wednesday night. But I just want to, in light of the missions conference or family conference next week, I want to just preach an isolated message in preparation for the meeting. I do not know if others are aware of this, and I'm not saying it to discourage anyone tonight, but every year since we have been having these meetings, folks walk away. I say it at the onset of the meeting. It is just one of those things that happens in church, and especially this church, because we are so family oriented. Brother Thompson and myself were talking about things that go on, and I say Wednesday's got to be my favorite service because it's just the family around the table, and I love seeing the little ones. I guess I've come to grips with them begging for candy. I closed my office door. I was struggling with some things, and Joe doesn't know how to shut that door, and so he had them all in there. They were just, you could hear them all screaming, come out, and they're all begging for candy. But I just love the atmosphere of a Wednesday night. I know sometimes it's uncomfortable for new people to come in with kids, and they struggle because their kids don't sit still, but look at ours in here tonight. Isn't that amazing? I don't know. I think we take that for granted sometimes, that how and they fidget and they do things. I understand it, but it's just, this is the best service. Listen, you want to spend time with your kids? You know the best place to spend time with your kids? Is in church. In church. We want to spend time with them in all these other places and entertain them in a way. The best place to spend time with kids is in church. And the best time to spend your kids to spend with you is you saying amen when somebody says something that's truthful so they know and they get engaged. There's something here. And so, the emphasis, every year since we've been having these meetings, folks walk away. The emphasis of the meeting from the start has been to strengthen families. And if families are strengthened, then the church will be strengthened. Unfortunately, some desire not to be strengthened. And again, I'm not saying it to discourage anybody. I'm making an observation. Preventive maintenance. As a father and as a pastor, both in my personal opinion being very similar, if they're not, then somebody's got to tell me they're not. Because I've always approached them that the same. And I pastor most times the same way as I've parented. The three in-law children, they're not in-laws to me, but the three in-law children's for you, I'm sure they've struggled with the pastor-parent hat because it's difficult sometimes. I don't draw a line of distinction between the two, and even my children have probably struggled with it. What you see as a parent is what you see as a pastor, and I give as much to those that I pastor as I give to my children, and they've probably struggled with that. I say that because in my years, I've seen far more walk away than those that walked away return. I'm getting old enough to say things like that from my observation. Some would argue, well, I did return, but just not there. I am as well of the persuasion that if you do return, or when you do return, you will as well make it right with those you walked away from. That's Bible. If Zacchaeus is going to go restore fourfold to people he robbed as a tax collector that he had no connection with, you better believe God's going to impress on, or the Holy Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit, is going to impress on somebody to make it right. I've had very few of those in my day, but the ones I have had, I've appreciated and respected far more. You'll never convince me that when you have a beef and you want to walk with God, He won't impress upon you to find them out and sort it out. It may be okay in the mind of those that walk away to do it that way, but it is not in the mind or of the Scripture for the Lord to do it that way. Amen. Amen. So in light of next week and looking at a passage that is near and dear to me, I want to revisit this passage concerning the prodigal. I think sometimes when we hear that story, we think that it only speaks of a child. We always envision a young teenage boy that goes astray from what he or she has learned, but I say it can speak not only of a physical family relationship, but can also speak of a spiritual family relationship. We have way too many people today, as I stated earlier, walking away from the blessings of being at the Father's house into a vicious and cruel world that doesn't provide what so many think that it does offer. Young people, let me say this, and I'm reading my notes. Young people, whoever you may think you are that's young. As someone who lived in the far country for far too many years before I heard that there was a Father's house, don't think it's special or that it's better or that it affords you something better out there. It isn't true. I have firsthand experience, and I wear the scars from it. If you're not careful, television, social media, TikTok, Instagram, radio, advertisements, and even friends and family play the far country up way, way, way too much. More than it should be, that's for sure. So with the time that we have tonight, I want to preach a very simple thought. You may not understand it, but I hope you do. The path to becoming a prodigal. The path to becoming a prodigal. That young boy thought about things that were there after he left. I wish I had a time machine for every prodigal. Because whether they'll admit it or not, they get out there and they realize what was back there. I could show them that and draw up a list and compare the two. And so I want to look at the path to becoming a prodigal, and specifically what I see from our text is, let's call them steps. Three simple steps that if you're not careful, you can step into yourself. And I say some are already there. Not necessarily here, I'm not going to pin anybody out, but I know they're there for me. And all it takes is the right breeze. And all it takes is the right wind or the certain circumstance. It's amazing sometimes how it's in there. I said of John chapter 4, Jesus said to that woman that if you'll drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. And I made the statement in the pulpit. Man, it's good to be home. Man, I was a nervous wreck up there. It's just hard preaching to other people. You guys know me. They know me. But I just feel so much more comfortable preaching here. But I made this statement. I said, I'm convicted every time I read that. Because I still some days thirst for the far country. Is that okay for me to say that? Jesus said to that woman that if you knew who asked you this, you'd ask them, and if you drink from this water, you'll never thirst again for that water. I don't know about you, but I do sometimes. And you know what I have to do, and I'll get to it at the end, what I have to do to make sure I don't want to drink that versus what here is here to drink? I'll share that with you at the end, but if you're not careful, don't think you're one of these ones, it never happened to me. Never happened to me. You know how many never happened to me people I've met? Do you know how many preacher friends of mine that are no longer, no more? Please don't ever find yourself saying that you won't become one. And don't be the one in the text that points at the one that does come back. Far too many of us are closer some days to becoming one that we may think or want to admit to ourselves. The prodigals I've seen since being here were not bad people. No, they weren't. They weren't. The prodigals that I've seen since I've been here were not bad people. I'm not talking about all of them. I'm just trying to make sure my heart's right with saying it about all of them. Some of them might have been, but anyways. I don't believe they were bad people. It just happens, sadly, depending upon how we see things. And the devil can get the best of us thinking that the fruit on a tree is good to eat and to make one wise. We could talk to Eve about that. The world thinks the average Christian is an idiot. And they'll tell the average Christian, you're an idiot for going to church. And they'll point out other things. Look what I'm doing. Look what I can have. I love God. I know God. I'm okay with God. I'm here to say they're not. By way of introduction, I want to define prodigal. Just so we have a base and we don't put him as a teenage boy that's just got to beef with his parents. I think too many times we see that passage of Scripture. Just like the woman. Can you believe her? She's had five husbands and the one she's with now is not hers. They forget that she was a nursery. She was a little baby born one day. Somebody held her. We don't know the circumstances of what took place. We don't know, just like Mephibosheth, the nurse dropped him because of grandpa. How many grandkids aren't in church today because of grandpa? So a prodigal is this: extravagantly wasteful. Didn't say nothing about a teenage boy. Extravagantly wasteful, a spendthrift, or extravagant to a degree bordering on recklessness. I wonder how many in church today are stewards over the things at the Father's house and are extravagant with God's money, the Father's money, on themselves, but never as stewards for those things. Number two, it's giving or producing something in large amounts. Three, it's wasting parental money. I listened to that guy at 4 o'clock. What's it, Rob West? Faith Finances? Faith for the Family Finances or something like this? And he says many times he advises people that call in and they leave an inheritance to their children. He said, you seriously need to pray over the fact of leaving an inheritance to a child that's not in church. Or leaving your inheritance for family members that are not in church. Because all they're going to do, you are literally giving your money over and wasting it when you give it over to somebody else. Because it's God's, it's not theirs. Wasting parental money, spending parental money wastefully, but returning home to a warm welcome. That's a prodigal. A synonym for prodigal would be wasteful, reckless, uncontrolled. If we just went by that definition this evening, then we already have a lot of prodigals. They just ain't packed up everything in a pillowcase and pooched their mouth out at everybody else and left. So let's look quickly at three steps and hopefully we'll prevent anybody this year from leaving. Fair enough? Say amen. There we go. Step number one, verse 12a. Real quick, write them down. Step number one, 12a. See if you can find it, fellas. Noah, you dialed in tonight anyways on the text and the verse. Bible says, and the younger of them, the two sons, said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. I wrote down step number one is a lack of appreciation. And I wrote beside it in parentheses, give me. Give me. Give me, 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 give me. It's a lack of appreciation. This young man, and I do not know his age, I just know he was younger than his father, decides he wants to leave. I say this first step is a lack of appreciation because it wasn't his. Everything wasn't his. It was his father's. His father worked for that. His father provided that. His father created an atmosphere for that young boy to grow up in. And he got to a place where it was a gimme, gimme, gimme because he did not appreciate what was there. Sound like anyone today? I could spend weeks looking at this aspect of our society today, just in church. How many TikTok or Reels or whatever those things are we've seen on Facebook. If I don't get my such and such, I'm going to bust into a grocery store and I'm taking it out because I deserve it. I don't deserve nothing. None of us deserve nothing. Job said, naked came I into this world, naked shall I leave. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It was a lack of appreciation. Step one, give me. Too many people and too many times, far too many in the church have a lack of appreciation for not only what others do for them, but especially for what the Father does for them. You can find that out on a Sunday night. Like crickets in the average church. instead of people. There's not a week that goes by in your and my life that we can't. He daily, the psalmist said, he what? Daily loadeth us with benefits. Don't think I'm off just because I'm in a bad season. I can sit at home and I need to mention it sometimes, more often maybe, that there is still blessings. I tell Libby over and over again, Sam wanted to step up. It was wonderful. But I said, could you imagine if we got here and had to leave? The Lord knew what He was doing. He is teaching us something, and we need to see what He's teaching us, because every good gift cometh from above, from the Father. Amen. It's a lack of appreciation. Young people, get used to giving a testimony. Some of y'all need to stand up in here every once in a while on a Sunday night and say, I just want to thank the Lord. My parents ain't perfect. I just want to thank the Lord for my mom and dad. I'm thankful they take me to church. I don't understand the way right now. And some days it's difficult, and I don't want to be in church all day. You'll want to when you get to the age of some of these gray-haired people. First time I got a driver's license, color of hair, this is what I put down today. Used to be brown. Magnum P.I. brown. I put down gray. Miss Melissa took a picture while we were in there from the back. Did she share it? Sent it to Libby, and Libby shared it with me, and she was saying, oh, isn't that sweet? All I saw was this big bald spot on the back of my head. I'm fixing to turn into a Jewish person and wear one of those beaners on my head so it covers it up. Some of you young people need to get used to standing up. I don't care how old you are. Stand up once in a while, Joey, and say, I want to thank my mom and dad, and I want to thank my dad that's not my dad, for providing the environment that He provides for me. It might go against my skin some days because I can't play video games for 14 hours. But you'll understand, video games ain't going to make you profitable down the road. We've had prodigals that have left here and tried to do that. Too many people and too many times, far too many in the church have a lack of appreciation for not only what others do for them, but especially what the Father does for them. And this isn't just an isolated situation with the prodigal, but it is far too many times the current culture of far too many that sit on our pews. Here's what Paul said, current, then, to Timothy, and for the time to come. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. They're here. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. They're here. I get it with girls, but I'm going to tell you what, this crowd of guys that take selfies and just, if somebody else in the picture, that's fine. But if it's just you with your profile pic, and I hope none of y'all are that way, because you're going to get pooch mouth, and then you're going to see the pastor, and then the pastor's going to wave me over, and you're not going to understand my sarcasm. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unappreciative, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Paul wrote Timothy. Timothy's pastor in a church, and here's what he said. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We're not talking about lost people. We're talking about people in church that just get to a place that they're just unthankful. Step number one, lack of appreciation. Give me. Let me ask you this, we'll move on. Is there a genuine appreciation for what the Lord has done for you? Is there? And I noticed Jacob did it. I don't know if he did it out of routine or whatever. There should never be a prompting. Has anybody got a testimony? It just should be natural. I just want to stand up and say, tonight I'm thankful for God. He really helped me this week. And you'll see it routinely from certain people. And I genuinely believe it. I get it. I don't think they're just saying it to say it. But can I say this? If you're not careful, you can sit on a church pew and be in a far country. Learn to be appreciative. Remember when I stepped out, Brother Joe, you're going to learn this. Stepped out on deputation. I said, man, they're waiting for me, baby. They're waiting for me. Got to that first one, didn't ask for nothing, showed up, figured they were going to just smother me with a love offering, beautiful penthouse suite, hotel room, little green room before I preached on, do you want some orange slices, some peanut M&Ms, what you want? Well, just everything got done. He said, thank you. No meal. No hotel room. Handed me a wad of bills. And I kid you not, Tina, I don't know if you remember it. I still know where it was in North Carolina. I won't say it online. Had a wad like this, got back to the van, rubber band around it. Cody and Josh said, there was two things Cody and Josh wanted to know. Did they take us on for support? And what was the love offering? You know why? Because they knew that's how we survived. That's how they knew they wouldn't have to ride around that van anymore and we'd get to the field. I pulled that thing out, took the rubber band off of it, started counting out them 20s. No, I'm sorry, started counting out them 50s. Them 10s. No, them 5s. It was 1s. $127. You say, that's a pretty good love offer. It was. It didn't cover my trip, didn't cover my gas, didn't cover my hotel room, didn't cover nothing. You know what I said from that point on? I expect nothing. Anything above that is a blessing. Lack of appreciation. We all can be a prodigal if we're not careful. Is there a genuine appreciation for what the Lord has done for you? Do you express it vocally and frequently? Nothing in this story gives any indication that the father did anything other than his best to provide an environment for his family. And even if he missed a time or two, is it really worth it to always pack up and go rather than to seek and find satisfaction? Number two, the first step to becoming a prodigal is a lack of appreciation. Give me. Verse 12b, Noah missed. Ryan, you're up to bat. Verse 12, huh? It's actually an L and an A. An L and an A. If you notice, the first one said, a lack of appreciation, give me. The second one is found in 12b, and he divided unto them his living. The second step to being a prodigal is not only a lack of appreciation, give me, it is a... You did two L's. It is a loss of ability. Grant me. Grant me. Now let me explain. And he divided unto them his living. Where's his living? Where's this boy's living? Where's this boy's paper route? Where's this boy's... Listen, I worked on a farm as a 11, 12-year-old boy. I was lobbying for some money. I got $30 a week working on a farm. And I found out somebody else got 40. You know what I was doing? I was trying to figure out what's he doing more than I am. And Frank said to me, I'll tell you what he's doing more than you are. He can drive a tractor, you can't. Okay, all right. Tone it down a little bit. I was just asking. But he knew I wanted to do something. He knew I had something in me. So next thing you know, one day we were short. He said, here. There's high and low gears on a tractor. Didn't know what? Some of y'all little youngins, everybody's got to hold your hand to get something done. Don't be too hard on me, boomer. I ain't going to be able to take it if you make me do it on my own. He said, here, highway roads. Got on that thing, looked like a bucking bronco, man. Popping it in gear, didn't know what was it. Frank didn't slap me in the back of the head. He was very patient with me. But I figured it out. Once I figured it out, and I could tell. Can you imagine 11, 12-year-old Michael Lovett driving on roads with a big giant bale, a wagon of hay behind him and a tractor? What were people thinking back then, man? Can you believe this stuff? You know what the second step was a loss of ability. The son didn't walk away with his living. He walked away with dad's living. I found some of the folks you invest the most into. Let me bring it into the church realm. I found some of the folks you invest the most into. You teach them the most. You train them the most. You mentor them the most. Take all the time and talent given and walk away only to waste it. Time is valuable. Do you know what preachers and parents and people want? They want an investment back on their time. They want to see something become of it. Now he's going to take dad's living and pack up and go out. It'd be easier for him to have just saved for a car, or should I say a mule. Save for his own pillowcase. We bought that pillowcase there, little pooch boy. Put your own stuff in that and see how far you get. Ryan's listening tonight, Brother Matt. There's a loss of ability. What's the grant or what's the GM there? The first one was a lack of appreciation. Give me. The second one's a loss of ability. Grant me. I deserve it. We don't deserve nothing. Too many conversations I've had with people in church that think they're owed something. Well, I volunteer. You get paid to do what you do. I volunteer. Oh, okay. I thought we're both working for the Lord. I thought the Bible said give the man of God double honor. I've found some of the folks you invest the most time into, teach them, train them, mentor them, take all the time, talent, given and walk away only to waste it or go to a church. Here we go. Or go to a church and be a leader in a lesser place because you couldn't work for it where you were. What is it that you bring to the church? Are you doing anything for the cause of Christ and His church? Or are you wanting everything and everyone just to do for you? We have not only a socialistic viewpoint in our society today where they want to live off of everybody else. Can I tell you who's paying for SNAP and all that other stuff? And do you know why the grocery prices are the way they are? Because everybody has to cover the ones that aren't. Do you know why prices go up in a store? When they steal from the store's not going to take the loss. The store's not going to take the loss. For theft, they'll raise the prices of that. And it goes and it transfers to us. You know what that is? That's a prodigal at heart. Do you know how many people come to church and never tithe? Do you know how many people will sit under a roof in a church that got re-roofed and never give a dime for the cause? Soak up the AC. You look at them nowadays in airports. They're lobbying to sit in a chair that's close to a pillar that has a plug so they can charge their phone. It's amazing to me. It's a loss of ability, grant me. I'm owed it somehow. Let me ask you this, and we'll move on. Are you doing anything now at the Father's house so that when it is time for you to have a ministry, it will be with what you have put into it and not what everyone else does for you? I remember a man that worked with young people. And here's what I would hear him say often. I need more people in my group. And I was thinking to myself, was somebody supposed to get them for you? You're leading the group. How about you go knock on a door? How about you visit a family? How about you find some kids and your group will get bigger on your own? Instead of somebody handing it to you and then you walking around with your fat belly and your peacock chest and saying, I'm a leader. Our churches are infiltrated with that kind of theology. And that kind of theology, when a family conference takes place, I thought you were going to talk about prodigal boys that leave our home. No, we got them sitting on our church pews. I went to Chicago and was broke. Beautiful church. I love the church. But I watched Miss Melissa kill herself. Setting up, doing this, doing that, running, looking for somebody to help. Now, when it was over with, they helped clean up, but I couldn't figure out what was the other part of it. I appreciate the workers in our church. The future looks bright here. But I'm going to tell you what, all of us could do a whole lot better. We could all do more better. Number three. Lack of appreciation, give me, verse 12a. Loss of ability, grant me, second step. Third step, and we're done. All right, both y'all have struck out. Both of y'all. McKaylee, it's time for you to show up and show out. It was a boy that was a prodigal in our text, not a girl. All right? Verse 13a, here's our third step. It's a lack of appreciation, give me. Loss of ability, grant me. Number three, verse 13a, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. There's no indication that he even knows what it looks like. There's no indication he has anything promising waiting for him. L's and A's. You're getting a hint. Just take a shot in the dark. No. Third step, probably the most important one, is a lust of adventure. A lust of adventure. What's the GM? Gather me. I gather it all together. I'm heading there. It's going to happen. And I can just see it. All my friends have told me all about it. Man, we had a servant at the farmhouse, and he was there for a while. He's a hired hand. He's only been here for a long time. But man, he told me about all those things. Remember Pinocchio? Remember Pinocchio? He was, boy, they were telling him all the things that were out there. It's a lust. The eyes. Can I tell you, social media, TV, advertisement, billboards, just cause you to look for adventure. I've heard many a reason for folks walking away from home and church. It's worded differently many times, but it's summed up in one phrase. A lust for something else and a lack of appreciation for what you have, of which I'll call an adventure. Just in this church alone, I've seen so many go, all while looking for something else, somewhere else. They say the grass is greener on the other side. It's only because it's over a septic tank. The grass ain't greener on the other side of the fence. You know where the grass is greener? Where you water it. Bloom where you're planted. Ah, I've never heard anybody say this, though, when they've left here. I just ain't getting fed. I ain't getting fed. If you came Sunday morning, if you came Sunday morning and you were one of those, what do we call them? On Thursdays, first Thursday of every month? I keep forgetting the phrase. I want to say grumpy grandparents. Senior saint, young at hearts. See so many of them young at hearts come and they get a big meal and then they'll take, I'll take a takeaway box. Because they want to have some of it for later on. And, I mean, that's okay. It's fine. Where was I going with that? Oh, I ain't getting fed. You came Sunday morning, you had a takeaway box. Point, subpoint, subpoint, subpoint. I love it. I love it. You know what he's doing? He's pouring out his heart so that he gives you enough food so you won't starve to death during the week when you won't do your own ability to search the scriptures for the word of God. A lust of adventure, gather me. Just in this church alone, I've seen so many go all while looking for something else somewhere else, and they'll be sure to try to get you to believe it worked out. It worked out by their social media posts. Doing great, serving God. In the church with the black ceiling. In this, they put me in leadership position. They're doing this. I've said it before. You don't have... Far country today is not the hog pen. It's just extravagant outside of the Father's house. Adventures never are good if you can't find and follow a biblical precedent. Do you find yourself saying, I'm bored with church? Pastor doesn't understand. He doesn't see my point of view. I think he's just getting a little too hard. Does he really expect... He doesn't understand the family I have. I'm so sick and tired of that. The biblical principles, I've said this many times before, for tithing work wherever you are. That's why I'm put off sometimes by missionary after missionary goes somewhere and then says, we need X thousands of dollars to buy this piece of property over here. So in other words, what you're saying is just what they're teaching. Argentina and everywhere else in the rest of the world needs to live off our taxpayers' dollars in order for you to make it in a foreign country. It's the same mentality that's happening in our government that's coming into our churches. That can take place. Tithing can take place there. All of those things can take place somewhere else if you follow the biblical precedent. I don't like how he does this, and I don't like how he does this. I can go down to this church and do this, and I can go here and do this, and everything's okay. He didn't like how the Father's house was. Adventures never are good if you can't find and follow a biblical precedent. Do you find yourself saying, I'm bored with church? Are you satisfied with life at the Father's house, or are you always looking for somewhere else you could be or something else you could be doing that's fun that this world has placed in your heart? I'll finish with this. I've read this story numerous times. It all can be fixed in the moments between verses 12 and 13. This is the solution without preaching another message. And the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. The father didn't want to impose his will on his son. You make your own choice. Verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. You go back down and you'll see what was taking place in those days between. It says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread? Let me give you the solution. The fix is in verses 12 and 13, the days after. After the initial thought or action, take a moment and sit down and write down all of what you have. Just do it someday. Just sit down with an open mind and open heart and just write a list of all that you have. My brother Mike, I think you were there when I spoke to the last departure. And I began to list all of the things. While that person was just focusing on this. You didn't give me this. I want this. But what about all this? No, it's that. That one little thing you're going to focus on. That one little thing that's gotten in your crawl. Take a few moments, sit down, write down all of what you have, young people. I know some people just waiting to turn 18. Just waiting to be able to get their own cell phone. No, that don't matter anymore. We give them to them at such an early age anymore that with no restrictions whatsoever. We give them open view of the far country anymore. If you need help, have enough character to ask somebody that will be honest with you and help you with that list. Sometimes you don't get to see it. Now, if that brother would have been the real brother, he would have sat down and said, What's going on? What are you doing? I'm sick and tired of this. Did you see what Dad said? Did you see what he does? Man, I don't know why. That farm down the road don't have these rules and regulations. That farm down the road don't make us do this. Dad makes us do this. I don't understand what he's doing. And if that brother would have sat down and said, hey, let's make a list together. Young people, it isn't just Brother Baldwin's responsibility, Miss Emily, to constantly paint up the Father's house so it overshadows the lust of adventure. Some of you ought to sit down with the right mind and solution and sit down and just make a list of all the things that you have in church. How many young people I see come in with the world painted all over them. You can see it's just dripping all over them. And they come in here and they see love and they experience it. And you know they want it. And young people don't even help them to get it. That's the young people. Now let's look at the old people. If you need help, have enough character to ask somebody that'll be honest with the list. I have my moments and my children help me. But you didn't see this, Dad. You didn't see this. You didn't see this. I've said to every one of my kids, I'm done. Various times. And I'm glad they're spiritual enough at some times to say, but Dad. And then I sit there and I go, yeah, you're right. You're right. Write down, if you need help, have enough character, ask someone that will be honest with you with the list. Then write down what you think you're looking for. And then sit down with someone who has far more years under their belt than you do. And then ask them to discuss what you're looking for. What is it you're looking for out there? And tell them. Be honest enough with them and tell them, well, this job or this occupation or this car or this or that or whatever it may be. You know how many young people, as soon as they get some freedom and they get a touch of something, they just go absolutely ballistic with it. If somebody would just come up beside them and teach them. We talked about things. It's not things that'll hurt you. It's what you do with those things. Ask an older person for them to discuss what you're looking for. If we had more of that, we may just eliminate some of the prodigals today. But we don't. Churches are full of prodigals that have already left, and we got pews full of people that are still communicating with them and liking and sharing. I saw a prodigal that left here not too long ago, got married. And I thought to myself, somebody, please, please put a jacket on her. Please cover her up. No, you say, preacher, you're really? Listen, the cover tells you what's in the book. And I hope it lasts. I really do hope it lasts. But I'm going to tell you what, how it's starting out, that's where older people, oh, Paul said what? An older Paul said to a younger people, have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? No, if you ever get to a place where just don't, I hope I've been enough of a pastor and we've been close, that you'd give me a shot. I'm fixing to make a decision. Before I do, I just want to talk to you. I've wrote my list out. I wrote this list out. And I begin to explain to you, oh man, you didn't see that. This is that. Every one of Satan's apples has worms. Before you know it, you'll bite into one. And before, I've met a lot of people that want to come back. But they can't. They can't muster it up enough. Because many times, I'll tell you why some don't come back. They know that the older brother's waiting at the house. Father, we'd ask you to help us tonight. My heart has been on the family conference. We have such a beautiful church. We've come such a long way and there's so much potential. But Lord, even in the short period of time I've been here, I've watched young people get to a certain age and disappear. I see their social media. I see what's taking place. And a lot of times the brothers that stay back at the church can blame it on the parents. Lord, I can't do that because you even had children in a perfect environment that walked away from you. And so help us, Lord. Help us to see the truths that are contained within this passage of Scripture. And when something does start stirring in our heart, in those days after the initial decision, we ought to seek out somebody. If he would have spent some time in the barn, he would have maybe talked to a servant that said, what in the world are you doing? Why are you making a decision like that? Don't you know how good it is here? And so please help us this year, Lord. Rather than lose this year, Lord, I pray that you strengthen this year. I pray that we don't have to have the prodigals, but we can have people that are strong in the Lord. They recognize the pitfalls and they avoid them. Help us, I plea. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. God spoke in your heart some way, somehow, some shape, or some form. Pray you'd come to the altar. Just pray for yourself. Pray for myself many days. And I say, Lord, please help me. Prone to wander, the songwriter said, didn't he?